Well, good morning, church family. It is good to see you here today on another steamy Sunday morning. Isn't it hot out there? But we're glad we have the refreshing presence of the Lord with us today. And so I'd like to invite you to pray with me as we prepare for this morning's message. Lord God, we love you and we're here to worship you, and we've been pouring out our praise, and we pray that it's been acceptable to you this morning. Father, earlier this spring, we asked for the rain to stop, but now we need it to start back up again. So makes us, I guess, appear to you sometimes to be fickle, but we just pray for protection from the heat this summer. Lord, we come to this time in our service where we're going to open your word, and we pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we started a new sermon series, Is That Really in the Bible? And we want to continue today, but in as means of introduction, I wonder if any of you remember the days before Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon. There was a late night comedian that hosted The Tonight Show. Remember Jay? And I actually got to tell you something that you don't know about me. I actually got on The Tonight Show once. Now, it's not like you think as a guest appearance, but do you remember one of the features he had where they had headlines and people would send in news clippings of articles and printed literature that had something funny about it? Well, I found something that wasn't really a headline, but it really fit Jay's humor, and I thought he might use it, and he did. Was actually eating at a Chinese restaurant and got a fortune cookie at the end of the meal. And when I open it up, here's what the fortune said. A gambler is he who picks his own pocket. Well, there's an element of truth there, isn't it? But what really made it funny and what got it on the show, I think, was right after that line, a gambler is he who picks his own pocket, it said, your lucky numbers are, and then it told you what they were. So I don't know what they were saying. But one night, one of the features I also used to enjoy on that show is what he called street walking. Do you remember that? And he'd go out, man on the street interviews, and he'd ask people questions. And there was one time when they actually asked a question that was really interesting. He asked people on the street to name one of the Ten Commandments. And I want to ask you today, which commandment do you think was the most popular response of the people that they showed on the video? Not killed? That's definitely one of them, but that wasn't the most popular one. No, it's a good one, but it wasn't there. Well, again, that's a commandment, but it wasn't on the show. Anybody else? There's what, seven more? Six, eight more? What? Well, that's a commandment, but it wasn't on the show. Do you know what the most popular commandment was they said? Check it out. God helps those who help themselves. I'm not kidding. That was the most popular answer. Now you and I know that's not one of the Ten Commandments, but that's what the popular vote was in the people that Jay interviewed, probably in the Los Angeles area, okay? So we know what the level of a Bible understanding was. But you've heard that phrase before, haven't you? God helps those who help themselves. And a lot of people think it comes from the Bible. But there's some people who attribute it to one of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, because that line appeared in an edition of Poor Richard's Almanac. But it wasn't original with Ben. He said many wise things, but it didn't originate. He was actually quoting an English writer whose name was Algernon Sidney. And Algernon Sidney wrote a document called Discourses on Government, and he actually used the phrase there. But it wasn't original with him either. Do you know where this phrase actually comes from, if you do the homework and check the backstory? It actually comes from Aesop's Fables. Now, I used to watch that cartoon when I was growing up, you know? But it actually was a real fable from back in the Greek period, and it comes from a story called Hercules and the Wagoneer. And the story was about a man who was pulling his cart along, and his wheel falls off. And he starts praying to the gods to help fix it. And Hercules answers him, and he says, "Get up and put your shoulder to the wheel. The gods help them that help themselves." That's where it came from. But the truth is, today, many people think this phrase comes from Scripture. And I do want to let you know, there is an element of truth in the statement. Let me show you where you can find an element of truth in this statement. Would you open your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? This was Paul's second letter to the church at Thessalonica. And this church, kind of like the church at Corinth, was having some problems. And so Paul wanted to address these issues. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 15, Paul writes this. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they've received from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden on any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command, those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing what is good. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Stay away from them so they will be ashamed. Don't think of them as enemies, but warn them as you would a brother or sister." So you see, there is an element of truth. The Lord does expect us to settle down and to work hard. It's being a Christian doesn't mean you are on easy street. Says earn a living so that you're not a burden on others. And interestingly enough, verse 10 puts out this very bold statement, those unwilling to work will not get to eat. So Paul has an expectation of people not being idle, not making other people, not being dependent on other people beyond what is necessary. But there's even a passage in the Proverbs that talks about this. I put this in the Message paraphrase because maybe you've read this before, but it'll put it in a little different way. The writer of Proverbs says, "You lazy fool, look at an ant. Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food. At harvest it stockpiles provisions. So how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back and take it easy. And do you know what comes next? Just this, you can look forward to a dirt poor life, poverty your permanent house guest. So there is an element of truth in the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. There are some expectations that we do work. So when we see this phrase, what's the real deal? Is this really in the Bible? Well, I'd like you to look at another passage in Jeremiah 17 in the Old Testament. The prophet Jeremiah tells us something very important about this. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 8, the paragraph heading in my Bible says, Wisdom from the Lord, and listen to what God says about this matter. Verse 5, this is what the Lord says, Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. So what's the key here? When we see the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, we tend to become self-dependent, don't we? If it's going to get done, I got to do it. But Jeremiah says those who depend on human strength are cursed. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord. You see, when you trust in yourself, you're kind of like a tumbleweed, I'll put it. Just kind of blowing back and forth, and there's not really any life there. You're just being blown around by the winds of life. But when you trust in God, Jeremiah says you're like a tree planted by a river. And even when you have a hot spell like what we're going through now, a tree planted by the river with its roots that run deep isn't going to shrivel up and die. Now there's some other wisdom from Scripture in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, that relates to this idea of trusting in God and not in yourself. Proverbs 14, 12 says, There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the way, in the end, it leads to what? Death. So a lot of people think they know what to do, but they don't have the wisdom that God gives. Proverbs 28, 26, Those who trust in themselves are what? Fools. But those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. And even in the book of wisdom in the New Testament, James 4, 6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, when it comes to this phrase, God helps those who help themselves, people who live that way feel empowered by their own pride and arrogance. This pride produces this attitude of arrogance. It's a deeply offensive way of depending. You guys may remember the champ Muhammad Ali, and he bragged an awful lot about what he could do, and some say it ain't bragging if you can do it, and he certainly was the champ. But there is an amazing story about one time he got on an airplane, and the flight attendant was checking, making sure everything was ready, and walking down the aisle was checking them, even make sure seatbelts were fastened. And noticed that Mr. Ali's seatbelt wasn't fastened, and she asked him to buckle it. And you know what he said? Superman don't need no seatbelt. And this very sharp flight attendant replied, Superman don't need no airplane. But you see, sometimes that's what pride can do. It can make us so self-sufficient, so self-dependent, that we don't think we need anybody else. Most importantly, we don't need the Lord. You may recall Jesus told a story about two men that came to the temple to pray, and one was filled with this pride and arrogance. Back in those days, The Pharisees wanted everybody to see their righteousness before God. So this Pharisee came down to the temple, and Jesus said he raised up his face toward heaven and he prayed out loud so everyone could hear. And he said, "Boy, God, you are so lucky that I'm your servant. I pray when I'm supposed to 3 times a day. I give a tithe of everything I earn. I'm a really good servant for you. You're lucky to have me." And he said, "I'm really glad I'm not like that man over there, a tax collector." And he just kept on bragging. And Jesus said that poor tax collector stood at a distance and beat his chest and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, which man went home justified before God? If you've read that story, you know it wasn't the pompous, prideful, arrogant Pharisee. It was the man who was humble before God. You see, pride makes you forget your dependence on God. When you depend on yourself to get things done in your life, you leave God out of the equation. Maybe you've heard this before. I think one of the best answers is when things need to happen in your life, you need to pray as hard as it depends all on God. But don't just sit on your rear end. Get out there and do whatever you can as if it depends on you. And I think God honors our prayers of humility and dependence, but he also honors our effort. Proverbs 3, 5-7 says this, "Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own." If you've ever tried it, you know it doesn't work well, does it? "Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil." So how about it? God helps those who help themselves. Is that in the Bible? No, it's not. So how do we relate to people and respond to people in our culture today who say that God helps those who help themselves? I think Jesus gave us an important answer in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, he begins the Sermon on the Mount by something we call the Beatitudes. Some people say it's the way our attitudes ought to be. And right out of the gate in verse 3, this is how it reads in the King James Version. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, when I used to read that growing up, I knew it was scripture, I had it memorized, but I didn't really understand what it meant to be poor in spirit. Do you? I know what it means to be poor in my bank account, right? But I didn't know what it meant to be poor in spirit. Now, one of the wonderful assets we have today is if we don't understand something in a traditional version of Scripture, there are other contemporary translations that kind of help. And so look what the Good News Translation, how it puts it. "Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them." It might help a little bit, but it still wasn't cutting it for me. What does it mean to be spiritually poor? So I looked at the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," but in parentheses, look at what it adds. "The humble, who rate themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So if I don't think I'm all that, it shows my dependence on God, so I'm starting to get the picture. But look at what the contemporary English version says. "God blesses those people who depend only on him. They belong to the kingdom of heaven." Does that make it a little easier to understand? I'm going to put my trust and my dependence on the Lord, but I'm going to do what he says in his word. That's a level of trust as well. So the next time you hear someone say, "God helps those who help themselves," I want to encourage you to reply, by reminding them God helps those who depend on Him. Now, if I were to give you an illustration from God's Word of people who didn't depend on Him and it didn't turn out good, probably the first example we can all think of is Adam and Eve in the garden, right? And we're still living with the consequences of that. But I want to tell you about another story to illustrate this, and it involves a man named Abraham and his wife Sarah. And God gave Abraham a promise that if he would leave his family and go to a new land, a land flowing of milk and honey, that he would make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand at the seashore. The only problem was Abraham and Sarah were very advanced in years, well beyond childbearing years. And Abraham's like, how's this going to happen? And he says, your wife is going to conceive. And Abraham believed him. And so he followed out. But they waited and they waited and they waited, year after year after year, and there was no child coming. So Sarah gets this idea, and it might have been based on God helps those who help themselves. And you know how she decided to help him along? She said, hey, Abraham, take my maidservant Hagar, and maybe you can have a child through her. God doesn't seem to be answering the prayer. And thus, they were given a child named Ishmael, who became the father of the Arab nation. But it took 25 years before Isaac, the child of promise, came along. And because Abraham and Sarah helped themselves, we are still living with the consequences of that mistake, aren't we? And Scripture is full of examples of people who say they want to trust in God, but they don't follow through with their actions. So as we think about this issue today, I want to wrap up by giving you a challenge. It's a pretty simple challenge. I want you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Find something this week that you can do that will express that. Maybe it's something you've been struggling with, you're not sure how to deal with it. Trust in the Lord. I want to encourage you to seek His Word and His will every day of your life. Pray like it's all up to God, and when He opens those doors of opportunity, don't hesitate. Go through. I want you just to live it. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, sometimes it's really hard when we hear these phrases that sound like they're from You, and we kind of sometimes even pass them on and share them with other people, and sometimes we make the same mistakes. But thank You for teaching us the truth today from Your Word, that while You are the God that we can depend on, that You also want us to follow Your will in Your Word in Your ways. Help us not follow in the ways of the Thessalonians, who were idle and full of meddling in other people's business because they weren't busy. Help us to follow the example of Paul and his companions. And Father, help us to listen not to the things we hear from this world, but to Your voice of truth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make about following God, you can come forward today. Let's stand and sing.